This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode of The Boop Show is brought to you by you. That's right, you. Over at patreon.com/frogpants. Consider supporting it today.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Welcome to The Boop Show. This is episode 176 for, I don't know what day it is, the 4th of June. Everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. It is June 4th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dibbitt. Hello, Brian Dibbitt. I mean, Dunaway.
We're thinking about you, Ibbitt.
Dunaway.
Hey, you know, as you get older, your mind becomes less pliable, and you just can't make changes suddenly.
Like, I got too many Brians in my life. This is what
you can blame it on the multiples, Brian. You can blame it on the Brians if you want to, but the truth is... old man, non-pliable brain.
Yeah.
It's getting to you.
That's what's going on. Too many Brians in my life.
Too many Brians.
But it's okay. I like all the Brians that I
Brians
know.
Too many Brians and too few brain cells.
I called Justin Robert Young Brian Dunaway not long ago. So this is just payback for that. Yeah.
Oh, I bet he hated that because he hates me.
No, listen, if you put you two in a room and there's a fight's going to break out. That's what I know. welcome to my favorite Monday.
Don't start that rumor.
No. Yeah, we don't need any more rumors than we've already got. This is my favorite activity on Mondays, and so I'm glad to be here and to be doing it with you. We both had long, busy days. Clearly, my brain is working on about half of what it should be, so why not just dive in and get to it? Okay, before we get going, quick little thanks to any gamers that are listening to us right now or watching us live who showed up for the Heroes Charity Brawl that we did on Saturday. It went really well. Yeah. We ended up streaming that thing for like six hours and, I don't know, 15 minutes or something. It was a marathon. It was pretty long.
That's what marathons do. They're real long, man. Every time you think it's over, it's like, oh, nope, 2 more hours.
They tend to go a while. I had 9 of my good heroes buddies on there, and we made our goal, which was $5,000 for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We went over that goal some. I forgot what the exact total was, but we did it.
Wow.
All of it, every single penny of that $5,000 goes to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And helps kids with, like, real problems. And we get none of it, which was the whole point of doing that thing. So we were happy to do it. Big thanks to Blizzard for their support and the prizes we gave away and all that. And for any of you who came and contributed, hung out, and otherwise helped support that event.
So, I saw it pop up on Twitch on Saturday, and I was like, oh, I need to go watch that. And I just wasn't in a location that I could do that without ignoring the rest of the family.
What we do for fun in there, all the games we played are custom stuff we made up and screwed around with.
That's great.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, we didn't play anything normal, really, until I guess the very end we did. But throughout, it was like tweaking all the settings so we could do some crazy game modes. And
we need to do some kind of charity thing for this thing, the Boop Show.
Sure, let's do some charity.
I mean, there's got to be some poor kids with no bits or bites out there, right?
You know what I was thinking? I have to pick my daughter up at 6 tonight. We'll see how long this show goes, but maybe at the end of this, we can fire up Battle Rite and keep the stream going, and people can watch us play Battle Rite.
You don't scare me. I got it. I downloaded Battle Rite.
You scare me.
I haven't
me.
Played it yet, but I downloaded
it. Oh, you haven't played it. That is even better. So if you've downloaded it and installed it, damn, hot damn, you're in for some fun. I think we'll do that. So chat room, hang around at the end. We'll just pop in, have a little fun in there. Maybe we'll, I'm trying to say if we should go man on man or go in there as a duo. You or not.
Yeah, it all sounds wrong.
We're gonna
no matter what you say, it just comes
we're gonna,
out like,
we're gonna lose. No matter what happens, we're gonna lose. And here's something Brian always will tell me.
I don't like Steam.
But he does like playing video games on the stream. That is to say, we will do that after the show. So hang around. Just depends on the time, I guess. The total, by the way, was $5,280. Thanks, chat room, for that. $5,280 for charity. And it felt good to do that. You gotta do that in your life sometimes, you know? Think about somebody else for once.
Absolutely, man. If we could just all do just a little bit more of that, that would we would solve all the problems, right?
We probably would, right? Seems like it. I try to give whenever I can, and look for cool stuff like that.
I give a dollar at Publix whenever I'm checking out. I mean, come on. I'm doing my part.
Listen, I don't know about your weird named strange grocery stores that we don't have that you do, but Publix. I understand.
You don't have a Publix?
No.
Oh my God, you're missing out now. Okay, look, there's not a lot that I can like throw in you Western folks' faces, but I feel like Publix is superb.
Mm. Is it a Kroger joint? Do they own it, or is it owned by somebody else?
That's a good question. They came out about the same time. I'm not really sure, though.
Kroger owns everything now, so I wouldn't be surprised if
would not be surprised
if they bought them. But yeah, we have ours. Our one that everyone likes here is Harmon's.
Oh, you know, we just got rid of one of those.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Seriously, did not make it. Was here for like about 6 months.
Ain't got no time for that, you said.
Goodbye,
Harmon's. Hello, Publix. All right. Hey, let's get into what we're playing this week. Want to do that?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about games instead of groceries.
Moonlighter. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
Okay. I don't even know where to start with this, except how much I love it. All right. Moonlighter.
Wait. Yeah. Is this a farm simulator?
No. It's not that at all. It's not even close to that, whatever idea that is you got in your head. It's, well, okay. There is a, how do I put this? It was a
So there is some farming.
It was a Kickstarter, okay? So, and right. There's an element to it. I wouldn't call it farming, though. I'd call it like, I don't know what you'd call this.
Dirt growing.
No, you don't do any farming at all. But there is some shop management. And I'll tell you how this works. So the way the game works is you're a little dude and your name is something Moonlighter. That's your last name. And your grandpa opened the store the first time and then your dad ran it for a long time. And now it's your turn. You got to run this joint. And during the day, you sell your wares and it's like magical items and crystals and wood and stone and, you know, things that magical people need, that sort of thing.
Well, let me paint a picture for you because they sure did. It is a good looking game.
It's a beautiful pixel game. I love the pixel art and it's really good. It's got this kind of, you know, down over the head, Ghibli looking, goofball looking, you know, Zelda kind of inspired thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely a Zelda angle.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like top down, but almost entirely right. top. And not, you know, there's a little bit of three-quarter view. But anyway, it is this stupid, awesome game that was made just for me, for reals. And the reason I say that is because, what do we got here? What are our ingredients? You got your roguelike. You got your dungeon crawler with random procedurally generated dungeons and enemies. You got your go deeper, and it's harder the deeper you go. And then you got your comeback. Now, normally what you do when you come back from a game like this is you go to town, and you sell your stuff. You go find a guy and he goes, hey, I'll buy your things, and you sell them for gold, right?
Right.
Not in this. You run the store. So you go you go to the store and you got a big table laid out, which you can make bigger and you can make your whole store bigger.
You're like a moonlighter.
You're a moonlighter. Very well said. You're a moonlighter.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And you go in there and you put up your stuff on the table and you set the prices. So you're like, I want to sell this staff of boogers or whatever it is. I want to sell it for 100 gold. And then I want to sell this other stone for 50 gold or whatever. And then when you set the prices, you open the store, people come in and they will pay for said items. If they won't pay or if they have a problem with it, they'll just make a frowny face and leave the table. I haven't charged enough. So you can adjust it and adjust your price down. What you're trying to do is not underprice, not overprice. If you underprice it, they get too good of a deal. Something that should have sold for 100 gold, maybe you sold it for 25 and you got ripped off.
Right.
You don't want to do that. You want to try to avoid that in Moonlighter. You want to try to have the best possible price so you're maximizing your profits, but you don't want to overdo it or else they just plain won't buy it. Why do you do this? Because you need that money to upgrade your shop and your town. To give you more abilities, like you need the dude what makes weapons for you. So if you want to go get a better weapon or craft it or whatever, you got to go to him with gold and you got to have, you know, the wherewithal to do it. And if you don't have all the pieces and parts for it, and this is the other challenge, you don't always have the parts you need for an item.
Right.
Because you sold a bunch of those items already for money.
Oh, come on, Moonlighter.
So here's what you do. You mark them as a favorite or as a watch list, basically. You say, well, I really want this sword, something fierce. So you mark it as an item that you need to look out for. And then when you're down there doing dungeons at night, mentioned that part? You go do dungeons at night. Have I mentioned that?
So that's the moonlighting part. Is the moonlighting part you go in doing the dungeon runs, yes, or is it the shopkeep? I'm assuming that the dungeon runs supports your habits of shopkeeping, right?
Correct. That is absolutely correct. So when you come back, you're selling the things that dropped off creatures during your moonlit run.
Nice.
You can also go there in the day. So you just can't run the shop at night. That's all. So you go to sleep in your bed and wake up in the morning. It doesn't matter.
This cannot stand. We must close at noon at the crack of whatever. Okay.
At the butt crack of dawn.
I like the way this is looking, too. You know what my favorite part of this game so far? Well, besides all the awesome things you just said about it.
What's that?
I like the heads-up display on the right-hand side that lays out the character's easily viewable what this button does. So,
oh, yeah, very Zelda that way. So there's your X, there's your Y, or, you know, whatever. This thing.
I mean, it's in your face.
Sure, sure. You can play with a keyboard. I would recommend playing it with a controller.
How can you dungeon crawl with a keyboard? No thanks.
Completely agree. And some creatures do terrible things. Like some will knock all your shite out of your pockets. that sucks. Some of them.
Hit me so hard it knocked my stuff out of my pockets.
It dumps all the stuff on the ground, so you got to pick those up again. Some things steal things that are already on the ground, so you want to kill those before they do. Some items, if you kill the creature too close to a cliff, they'll start to fall down the cliff, so get up to the edge and catch them before they go. It's all very simple. There's not like crazy controls or anything. And the combat's very simple. Get up to a thing, stab at it with a whatever melee weapon, or if you're using a ranged weapon like a bow or something, you can do it from afar. Anytime you're out there in these dungeons, no matter how deep you've gone, let's say your inventory fills up, you got to get back home to sell, right? You don't want to throw anything away. So you can teleport back for like 300 gold. It's kind of expensive, so you want to be careful, but you can teleport back. You teleport back, you go in, you get your stuff set up, you sell your shite to the people, and then you have enough money to go do some upgrades, and then you go back out at night to fight more stuff in the dungeons. So it's got this. This is the loop. This is the whole thing. Now, if I die in the dungeon, because sometimes you do because you're like, ooh, I'm going to try really hard not to die. I think I can get this next bunch of stuff. You get greedy or whatever. And I've gotten greedy. if you die, anything in your bag, like inventory in your bag, you lose it. Gone. Boop. Kabooey. No. If you lose anything, or if you die, but the items, any items in your top bar like that are on your person inventory, those will stay. So you want to be like smart about that. Like if you have, you know, you have something expensive or hard to replace, stick it up in there.
Right.
There's not a lot of slots.
In your coin purse, if you will.
Stick it up in there.
Are you making good decisions about what you're putting in your coin purse?
Oh yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am, because you have to. Otherwise I'm going to lose all that stuff, and it sucks when you lose it. That's the roguelike part, right? You don't lose your gold, and you don't lose the stuff that's on you, those five slots or whatever, because your body gets chucked out the front of the dungeon. So that stuff's saved. But all that extra stuff that was in your bag, poof, all falls out and goes all over the place.
And you can't come back. It's not sitting conveniently like in a bag somewhere, because it's all procedurally generated. So the next time you go in, there's like
it's all different. Different every time. You walk in, it's totally different. So right now,
I like it and I hate it.
It's on PC at the moment. It's coming to Switch soon. I don't know what the date is. Should be any time. I think PS4 and Xbox have it. Not 100% sure on that either. I got it on Steam. It's $20. It is in my top three games of the year. So far. I love it.
It looks like a game I would want to play.
I feel like they made it for me, Brian.
It looks like they made it for you. Absolutely 100%. It is a Scott Johnson game. And I've never heard of these developers, Digital Sun. Do we know these people?
I don't know if they're known for anything else. That's a really good question. I'm going to play a little music from it. That's the other thing I like. That's really loud. Hold on. Sorry about that. All right. Here we go. No, that's a logo. Hold on. Okay, here we go.
Those days, Will used to have a melancholic gaze, attending customers during the day and working the dungeons during the night.
It's just charming and delightful and amazing.
That is totally not the direction I was getting from the screenshots. I love it.
It's really good. If I only had one complaint, it is that, and I think this is on purpose, so it's not really a complaint. It's just me going, oh, you didn't make it easier for me. But the weapon control is, it depends on the weapon you have. Like, the bow takes a while. The staff is great for distance, so you can poke it way out there and get somebody who's further away so they can't hit you with their sword or something.
I'm touching you with my
staff. They're so far out there that it takes forever to retract. And if there's something else near you, they can attack you in the meantime. I'm not going to say it's like Dark Souls level. Not even close to that. But there's still this element of like, be careful when you swing because you got to finish that animation before, you know, it comes back. And in that time, you could get hit by one of these smaller, faster creatures. So there's a lot of strategy in that regard. So it's actually a good thing I'm complaining about. It's just I didn't expect it.
Well, it's good. I'm gonna have to get this.
I really like it. I think supporting these devs is a good idea too. They did it as a Kickstarter, and boy, did they fulfill it. Again, I don't know anything about 11-Bit Studios before this.
Right. Well, the publisher, 11-Bit Studio, and they're doing you can see Frostpunk. That's been really doing really big stuff lately.
Oh, do they put that? That was them publishing that.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah. They're the publishers in that. The developer now. Like I said, I've never seen Digital Sun, so I don't know if that. I always find it interesting because it seems like they had a really good head start on this. Like, somebody knew what they were doing. So somebody's in there, knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's mostly positive.
It's really great. That's a YouTuber yelling. It's basically. What is up, party people? It's your old pal, so and so. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
This game is super new, like May the 29th, 2018 for PC. A day is like June the 4th. By the way, happy birthday to my oldest son, Andrew. He is 20 today, no longer a teenager.
Whoa.
Good job. But you know what I did? I broke with my self-imposed nothing played before 2017 game reviews.
Yeah, what happened there?
Accident.
Oh,
I didn't realize it was so old, but I had loaded it up and I was playing it, and so I was playing Monochroma. Can you say that?
Monochroma.
You ever heard of Monochroma?
No, sir, I have
not. All right. Well, it's one of them puzzle platform games, and it was a black and white thing, grayscale, but it has just a touch of red. You know me, man.
Yeah,
I like these artsy, moody, atmospheric games, and that's what I was looking for when I found this one, and it provided a lot of it. It's been compared to, people have compared it to Limbo and ICO and all that good stuff. Do you say ICO or ICO? How do you say
it? ICO is what I always said, but I don't know. I know what this is. Hold on a second.
I know what this is. It's been out since 2014. However, they did release it on the other platforms, I think around 2016, but I was playing on the PC. But, hey, let's not get hung up on that part. I'll just say this. I really enjoyed the game. It was very atmospheric, and it went some places I was not expecting.
Yeah.
It kind of combines like story elements or ideas from like 1984, The Matrix,
It looks like Limbo again. It's another Limbo game.
It's hard to get away from these moody, atmospheric puzzle platformers without looking like Limbo.
These side scrollers with lots of shadows and misty buildings in the background, black and white mostly, pretty monochromatic. Welcome to Limbo time, post Limbo.
Monochromatic. Hey, is that why they called it that?
Mm.
But hey, man, look, it's like $1.99. Oh. You can't go wrong for $1.99. I played about 4 hours to beat. And the story is just enough to get you along, but it is such a creepy experience. The one thing I love about these games are the environments. So the characters are usually almost inconsequential because they're usually this teeny tiny little characters in the foreground, and then in the background you have these big sweeping vistas of stuff.
Yeah,
and you start out and you're like in like this farm area, and it's like huge farms, and there's combines and all this stuff, and you're just walking along. You seem fairly happy, cheerful for a monochrome story. You know, maybe it turns into like, you know, that's when we started with with Wizard of Oz, you know, it was fine. We was happy.
Sure. Who's flying the kite? Is that you or someone in the background flying that kite?
I never meet the kite flyer, but I'm assuming there's other kids. This is kind of one of those alternate timeline kind of things, too. So everything's very industrialized and, you know, a red kite flying in the air would be like, I don't know, 99 red loft balloons. I mean, it would be like, it would just be, it's very German, maybe.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Schindler's List when there's just the one bit of red on that girl's coat. Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of the idea, because this is a definitely a suppressive environment where you have a couple of kids just trying to get through, but also just trying to have a little bit of fun. And the thing that makes this a really unique story is not just some lone individual kid who is making his way and trekking across. You have a little brother. And so this kid is represented about maybe like a 12, 13 year old, but you have a little brother who's like maybe 6 or 7, and you come across him pretty early. He's gotten hurt and you have to pick him up to carry him on your back. And so you're like, okay, I could do that. I can carry him a little bit. No problem. He's on there the whole game.
Oh,
just about.
Jeez.
There are right. So, okay. So your kid, you know, he's not superhuman, but he can jump pretty high and he can walk pretty fast and he can, you know, reached platforms that he needs to, but not when carrying his brother. So once you pick your brother up and you go to a certain area, what happens is you find you can't get to the next area until you put that little dude down. But you only can put him down in litted areas. It took me a little while to figure that out because there's not really a lot of explanation.
What's a litted area?
A litted area has a lid on it? No. So there's like a lit area with
lit, like lighting.
Right.
Got it.
Like lit up, lit.
Oh, you said right. Litted. I thought L-I-D-D. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. I should have said lit.
No, so it's all good. Litted.
I don't know. I don't know why I double-D'd that. But anyway, yeah. So you have to find like little areas where you can put your little brother down.
Like and real life. Like we've all been there. We've had to do that in our lives. I get it.
Absolutely. I can't get to the next thing. So then it gets very precarious because you're on the run pretty much the most of this game, even though there's not necessarily a bad guy on your heels, you know that you got to keep going and keep getting to the next area. And so when you put your little brother down, you're kind of like, okay, is it going to be safe? I don't know. Let's find out. And so you try to solve the puzzle. And sometimes, let's just say bad things happen.
Yeah, I just watched him die. Watched him fall and die. You got an achievement, though, for dying. That's cool.
You do. You get all kinds of great achievements. That's one of the most fun things about this game is these great, weird achievements. A lot of hidden achievements you don't really know until later on. You're like, oh, I got that. That's cool.
Listen to this, listeners. It's very moody. Listen. It's just lightning and thunder and rain.
Thunder.
Yeah. It looks like they're running from the man. Like, this is industrial England, and there's some slave running. Yeah.
Right. That's why I kind of feel like maybe Germany took over England and like it feels like there's a story. There's no solid story going on there. It's just implied. You know, this could have happened. But let me tell you, man, when you get about, it's all kind of bad guy, you know, just typical kind of stuff up until about midway through the game. Like I said, it's about a 4-hour game. And then things get weird.
The little brother or the brother or not the brother, your character that's carrying the dude. He seems a little stiff.
Big?
No. Yeah. Like he moves a little stiffly. Do you see what I'm saying?
I can see that. I'll be honest. I didn't care for the character animation a lot of times. I'd be kind of like, this art is just a little bit off. But, you know, it is, what, like 4 year old, four years old now. So I don't know what exactly engine they were using. And I didn't look into all that.
Well, this would have been post Limbo. Well, not that it's a problem. He just seemed a little stiff to me, but
it does seem a little stiff. But like once I said, it was not distracting.
Okay.
It like I said, I almost did not see the foreground kids at all. Once you get to a certain point, almost everything is about what's going on in the background and the vistas that are back there. It's really interesting. But near the end game gets really intense because a lot of us, you know, at your own pace. So, you know, you just do your little thing. And occasionally you'll walk by an area and a bad guy will pop out of a door and you have to run. Well, this is kind of where the game is not as good. It's really good at creating an emotion or a feeling about what you're doing and trying to get to the next place and feeling well rewarded. This one, when you get chased, you feel frustration because the... the reaction time of the controls just is not fast enough to do some of the more complex twitchy things you need to do. And so I got a little frustrated a couple of times in that, and maybe the reason why it never was like a huge hit, because everything else is pretty solid and is kicking on all, you know, on all cylinders. But the fact that I would get stuck in certain areas, and it would just pure determination, knowing that it was only a 4-hour game, just pure determination.
I didn't know it was that short. That'd be worth playing for $1.99.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, I totally, if you got a free Saturday one day and you're just like going, oh my gosh. And if it was raining outside and you had a free Saturday, throw $1.99. Now it's on sale right now, and that's only going to be another 19 hours. So if you're listening to this on June the 5th, you may be out of luck, but you can try. But it's definitely worth $1.99. I really had my 4 hours worth of fun with this game.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back and play it again, but it was definitely neat.
Yeah.
What was the other thing I was going to say about it? There's a lot of things about the end story I want to talk about, but I don't want to because I don't want to ruin.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin the surprise because it was nice. It was nice. There's some good surprises.
Okay. So it's not just
that?
It's not just a walking simulator. You're going to see some stuff is what you're telling me.
You're going to see some stuff. I never got stuck anywhere, so I didn't really see any glitches. So it was pretty glitch free. There was some frustrating moments where I felt like I needed more instruction, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are we to ask for more? That's a great.
Oh,
it's fine.
Crazy gamers. Give me more.
So I've been playing or have been playing or am playing. In fact, I just started playing it today. If you want the truth.
Oh, I want the truth. It's the only thing I'll accept.
All right. If all you want is the truth, then boy, howdy, do I have good news for you, because today I played for the first time. You're going to think I've got a problem. Okay. Warhammer 40K Inquisitor. Right. Martyr.
What?
It's called Inquisitor-Martyr for some reason. I don't know why.
Is that out?
That is in early access and has been for a while, but I didn't know about it. So some fan says, Scott, did you know that this is a thing? And I said, well, tell me more. And they said, well, it's Warhammer 40K, but it's like Diablo. I'm like, what? Wait, what? Like loot and progression and random levels and, you know, everything I love about Diablo's and games and things like that, Path of Exile, all that stuff. And they said, yes, that is exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, my Lord. I am all up in that, biznatch, it turns out. So you take two of my favorite things, action RPG, you know, loot monster, freaking dungeon crawler, mix it with Warhammer 40K. My favorite world to live in. Like I went to huge lengths last week to explain. I love it there. Right. And I get to go do that. And he says, yeah, you do. And I said, all right, I'm going to buy this early. I know it's early. It's got rough edges. It's not perfect. There's plenty of beta going on here. But it also seems like it's got a nice, you know, the developers seem active. It seems like they've got money behind it. The voice acting and all that stuff leads me to believe that also. By the way, I'm pretty sure the main character in this, or the guy I chose anyway, I don't know if it's the same for everybody, is the voice of Tyrael in Diablo 3, which is great because, you know, to just have more Tyrael in my life is never a bad thing. But anyway, it's, you know, it's what you think it is. You crawl through these dungeons, you choose between three major classes. One's kind of a spellcaster, one's like a more of a tanky dude, and he does a lot of guns too, if you want, but everybody can kind of use everything. Like all the weapons are available for you to fiddle with, and every weapon comes with its own set of special abilities. So it's not like you unlock abilities that you always have. It's weapon dependent. So it works a little bit like the gem system in Path of Exile. Whatever you're wearing has abilities, so you use those abilities based on what you're wearing. So I might have an ability with a certain kind of armor that shoots a bunch of homing missiles every once in a while.
Yes, please.
Yeah, cool stuff like that. You've got basic attacks, you've got right-click attacks, you have, you know, your typical 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that. There's a health system that basically works like vials, except they're like these little stims, and you get those around the levels. Creatures drop all kinds of random loot. You get weapons and armor and guns that way. I mean, it's what you think it is. It's an action RPG with Diablo-style progression, and it looks really good. The one nice thing is the screen is highly rotatable, so you can move your screen around a bunch. If you, you know, don't like the angle you're running at or something, you can rotate with the middle mouse button. You can play with a controller as well. And I actually really like the controller settings on this. I think it's a strong case for controller.
Wow, this does look a Diablo-esque.
Oh,
I like it.
Very Diablo. I mean, but it's also very Warhammer 40K. Like, it's just like the minute you walk in there, it's like last week, like, Ezekiel, bring me thine blah, blah, blah. Like, just fancy men named Barnabas wearing big armor, you know? Like,
right.
It's awesome.
Now, do you think they'll release on June the 5th proper? Because they've had a delay on this thing before, it looks like.
Well, June 5th is the current...
Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the big reset tomorrow.
Right.
I got far enough in that I'm kind of annoyed because I think that means I'm going to lose all my progress. I'm not actually sure about that.
Ooh, I hope not.
But I didn't go that far. It's not a big deal.
Right.
I'm like level 3 or something, so it's not a huge deal. But it's good. I mean, it's what I want. And I think
I think they're ready
because there was all this chatter in the chat room or in the, you know, they have a built-in chat panel.
Right.
And there was a whole bunch of public talk about tomorrow and the reset.
Fun and exciting? I mean, if you've been playing something for a while and you've been hanging out and you're loving it and you know the release day is coming up and it's like, all these new idiots are going to be coming in tomorrow and I can't wait.
Yep. What I really like, I'll tell you what I like the most. I like the combat because that's what you want in these games, right? But they're very bloody. Very, very bloody. Guys get eviscerated and sent everywhere. I was in this big cathedral ship. They called it the Monastery. And it was awesome. It was like a great big flying temple in space. But there's lots of bloody gore and stuff, which is great. But then the main thing I like is that there is a destructible environment. So if I want to hide behind a thing, I can take cover. It's a cool cover system. I reassigned my keys a little bit, but I think I have shift for that. So when I'm near a cover area, I can hit shift and that will reduce the damage I take while I'm behind it, especially as a ranged character. At the end of every part of the chapters that you're playing in the single player mode, it unlocks a bunch of loot. It's like opening a big chest at the end. It's all random. This is not a free to play game. There's no pay to win. There's no free to play crap. None of that. This is purely a premium experience. So none of that garbage. In fact, it's so much of a premium experience. You're going to pay $44 for it early.
Oh, yeah. It's still 10% off right now, right?
I mean, that's what I paid for. It's $50 when it launches officially. But again, it's just I would be in on this just for the world alone. And I'm happy to report that they've also seemed to get the other stuff right. In terms of the how it feels like Diablo 2. Maybe Path of Exile is another good example of the feel of it. It's a little slower take. Like Diablo 3 is very frenetic. It's run in, bomb a bunch of shit, run out. Like it's super crazy sometimes, which I think is great for Diablo. I'm not complaining. I actually really like that. But in Diablo 2 and games that mimic Diablo 2, like Path of Exile, they tend to be a little more deliberate. You know, you're kind of more tactical. Let's put it that way. It's less about just spamming big, loud skills and things like that. So this game's a little bit more like that. I think that's going to appeal to a lot of players like that. And I dig it. The only problem I can find, and I forgot to mention this. This is irritating the hell out of me.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm just doing it wrong. But when I'm
you're doing it wrong.
When I'm in the middle of the battle, like and I get some drops off some boss or something, I can't equip anything while I'm out in the field. I have to go back to like the base to do it.
Yeah.
That's weird. And I don't know if that's just in this beta or what the deal is. It's got some rough edges some other ways, too. So maybe that all gets fixed with the release. But that seems crazy. Unless that was a very specific design choice to say, guess what? You wanna put on that hot new sword, that power sword you found? Got to go back to town to do it. Like,
hey, you still got time for that refund option, right?
I do, but I like it enough that I think I'm gonna hang in there.
What if I told you could get on the PlayStation 4? Would you then?
No, I'd still get it on PC.
All right, just asking.
I mean, no, if all I had was a PlayStation or had a crappy PC, I would.
Would you get it for the Switch?
Yes, I'd get it.
Oh, too bad. They don't have one.
No, they're not doing this for the Switch. This thing looks like it's made for... This is like Unreal 4
it's
business.
What is it? Unreal Engine, right?
It looks real good.
Games Workshop.
So anyway, there it is. It's Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr. And I think...
Have you met the Inquisitor? Or the Martyr?
I am the Inquisitor, and the Martyr's a ship. So I'm the Inquisitor, which is like a special ops kind of guy. I go into a place and go, I will rid this place of the scourge of the evil dark heart, whatever, and I will serve the eternal god king and, you know, this kind of stuff.
Right. Love that. You actually do that pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I love that stuff. Freaking love it. And the fact that it's Tyrael in there talking is just a bonus. So anyway.
Right.
Brian, tell me about World of the West, or sorry, World to the West. What's
get
this?
Get it right. It's World to the West. Hey, it's one of the, you like playing that Legend of Zelda top-down kind of stuff?
Sure do.
Then you're going to like this a lot, I think, because this, it's a little more cutesy though, but it kind of harkens back to like the Legend of Zelda from the Game Boy era, but not in looks.
Yeah.
Just in kind of the play kind of seems a little bit like that. Okay, so I jump into this World to the West, and the first thing you do in is you're this character, and you're chasing after your father who is running ahead on a bridge, and you're trying to catch up with him. And then you discover that you got these zappy powers. You can go, shoom, and you're basically, apparently you have like you have like Tesla powers, lightning powers, so you're able to like teleport. Shoom, shoom. And so I'm like, oh, that is really cool. And I'm like, this looks familiar. I've seen something that looks like this. Turns out this is based in the world of, Teslagrad.
I have no idea. I don't know what you're saying. Those aren't words.
Okay. Teslagrad.
Are those right. words? Are you saying
those
words?
Those are words.
Okay.
Those are words.
I believe it.
Those are words.
I believe
it. Right. So, yeah. All right. So, look. So, you're trying to get into this Zelda world, right? Yeah. All right. So, you're following your dad who's leaving you. What a jerk. Yeah. But you finally do catch up with some other people that are there and knows what's going on. And they're supposed to be babysitting you and your other sibling brothers who are little shits, apparently, because they went and started messing with the teleporter. And you fly in behind your father, essentially, into this other world, and that's where the story takes place. You have a upper part of the world and a lower part of the world, and in the lower part of the world are more characters that you play as, because they are trying to get up. They apparently think that they're going to the moon.
Okay.
Weird.
Wait, the moon?
They think they're going to the moon.
Okay, the moon. Great.
The story is weird.
Okay.
I don't understand what's going on in this story. So, you know, it's typical.
Looks
you know,
I puzzly and platformy. And
it is puzzly and platformy. You got your okay. So your Tesla Mancer is able to wield lightning and able to zap around. But the really cool aspect of this game for me is the way in which the story is told. Now, when you're reading a book and you're like, read chapter one, it's about this person, and you go, okay. Then you get in chapter two, and it's like, who's this person? I don't know this person. And you keep going, and you know, eventually the stories merge. Well, there's four characters in this story, and they tell it in a really to me is a really well crafted way for you to get from the completion of one person's story, one character story, and then move on to the next character story. And it all fits in pretty seamlessly. You can play you end up playing characters like this Tesla Mancer who has the ability to manipulate
electricity.
Yeah. Right. And then you have a character who is able to possess animals that are in the world. And there's a couple of animals. The only animals I've really encountered, though, are a squirrel and a character that what is it called? I'm drawing a blank on it now. It was Teslagrad. They had a anyway, there's like they're like half dogs and they're almost like you know how the big chain ball monsters look. Look at the chain ball monsters in Mario.
Chompers,
that's it.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
You okay,
my
dude?
Brain is,
are you all right?
Wow. My brain is having a trouble there. Remember, okay, so anyway, yeah, so you know little Chomper guys. So that's kind of like, imagine Chomper's heads on like some kind of weird lizard dog body.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay. I'm having trouble describing this game because it's like, it's such a weird experience. But okay, so you can possess these animals. Yeah, so it's all about being able to get to areas that one character cannot to unlock a aspect of the puzzle and then go back to the other character and unlock it. with their abilities to be able to get to those areas.
Do you swap out right in the same place, or you got to go get that person?
No, that's what's so infuriating and kind of fun about this game. Okay. So your characters end up at these totems, and by the way, the totems are the four characters' heads all stacked high, and there's a guide, and the guide is telling you what to do, basically. And so when you come up to these totems, you save your spot. That's what it does. It saves your spot automatically, and you can leave the character there and switch over to any other characters that are available. They're not always available. It's according to what part of the story it's in, and you'll choose the next character, and you can then make your way to the area where you need to be once you figure it out.
Yeah.
And there's a big map, so you can see the top layer and the cave layer as well. And like I said, it's just problem solving after problem solving. This really kind of fun with these characters that have these different powers. We said the woman that can possess animals, and there's also a big strong man. I like the big strong man.
He's always liked the big strong man. Yeah.
Yeah, the big strong man. He's a typical strong man. He's got kind of like, I think he has like, he has no shirt on, but he's got like the cuff link. He's got the cuff things, you know what I'm talking about? The white cuffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen this? He's got like a, like, it looks like he has like one of those Shriner's hats.
Sure.
Is that a thing?
Sure.
I think it is. Yeah. So he goes around, he bullies stuff around, and he like really just smashes stuff. Rawr! He's your tank there, right there. So, and then there's one other guy. There's one other character. He pretty much can crawl through anything and dig under stuff. He's kind of limited so far. However, I just picked up a new power for this guy, and it allows me to do like kind of an Iceman kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like I can shoot ice out and I can slide across.
Hmm.
I like that part.
Yeah, that seems all right.
My favorite.
That's
right.
Seems all right.
It seems all right. Like I said, are you going to be like blown away and go, oh my God, I played World to the West, Brian. You're not going to believe what happened to me. No, you're going to be like, oh, that was a pretty fun game.
Well, it was some just, nice. There's some sound. It's a creature talking to a tree or something. Let's see. Oh, he's got this. This is the little scrappy guy with the hat and the punching hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out running around.
Oh, and that's fun because you can trigger him to do a run, and he will run until he hits something.
And he'll slide too, right?
Yeah, he'll slide.
Tell me what the stuff up in the corner, left-hand corner, you got those three dots, or they're different dots going there. Is that their life bar up there?
Yes, yes. Oh, so they have hearts. So this basically, it looks like, probably this look like dots, but they're not, I think they're diamonds, actually, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, they're in the upper right, left-hand corner, excuse me. And you usually start out with like three or so, and according to the characters, some have more. Yeah. And really, the only... You usually don't die. Usually if you lose all your lives, you'll get thrown back to a totem. Now, you can be in a certain area working on a puzzle, and if you lose enough of those hearts, essentially, then you get thrown back. Otherwise, it just kind of starts you back at the beginning of the puzzle every time.
Right. Oh, interesting. It looks good. I would play something like this. I like weird games like this. Nothing wrong with this. This is fine.
I just kept playing it, and I never really got... really bad stuck.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of times I thought, oh, there's just no way. There's just no way. You can't time it.
Sure.
You ever play that when you're playing puzzle platformers? You just go, there's just no way.
Yeah, all the time.
There's no way. There's no way in hell I can jump from here, here, and here and not fall off. It just ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Been there, done
right.
That.
You're tempted to throw the controller away. You're just not sure. It's like, I'm quitting. No, I'm going to one more time.
Does this sound familiar, by the way? Listen to this. Does this sound familiar? No, nothing yet. Listen carefully.
Oh,
familiar?
This
yet?
Has the weirdest music.
Do you know what it is?
No, what is this?
This is that game you told me about last week, Unforeseen Events.
Oh,
yeah, I picked it up.
That is great.
I should say the developer was very kind and sent me a key and. I played a bunch of it.
Unforeseen incidents.
Yeah, I played it on the stream.
I need to get that virus canister for Professor McBride.
I don't think the voice acting is that great, by the way.
Really? I love the voice acting.
I think it's fine. It's appropriate for what it is. It's not that big a deal. But
parking for employees of Harwood Energy only.
It's fine. It's just like talking
to your
neighbor.
It reminds me of all of the old... You know, the old Lucasfilms kind of games. It's just, you know, in the Secret of Monkey Island and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. And I'm not going to... we talked about it pretty at length yesterday. The main draw of this game is the art is freaking awesome. The ink work is incredible. It makes me want to just stop everything and draw right now, every time I look at it.
But I didn't complain about the thing I think you're going to complain about last week, because I don't know, are they actually officially launched yet? And I'm not sure if they could fix it even if they wanted to.
What is it? What bugs you?
All right, so this is my problem with the art. I didn't mention it last week. Everything was like it was made in a raster application, like Photoshop. So
yeah, so when you zoom, you get all fuzzy.
When you zoom, it gets fuzzy. And I was like, oh, I just don't know. It's like once you get to that point,
it's not even so much that they
pipe is cute.
Oh, this pipe is cute. See, a lot of this kind of talk. Hello, this pipe is cute.
I wonder where it leads.
Yeah. Anyway, my biggest problem with it is that they didn't start at a higher resolution. It's not a problem to go raster. It's just you got to start high. So you can scale up to 4K displays or even 1080p look kind of bad. But it's only when they do zoom in close shots of stuff. It doesn't entirely ruin the game. It just takes me out a little bit, makes me go, oh, yeah, fuzzy, nice. It looks like a low-rent JPEG or something sometimes.
Now, is that just to us?
That's just artists? To us picky guys, I'm telling you.
Right.
Nobody
is it just
else
us artists? Or is it?
I don't think anyone gives a crap but us.
Probably.
For real.
Right.
I think everyone else is like, whatever, you guys. You're a little picky about your games.
But did you enjoy the story, though? I mean, is the story kind of just like pulls you along? Did you get stuck anywhere?
Not yet. I'm still playing. I didn't finish it, but I'm still going along. And yes, it's not because the game's hard. It's because I'm terrible at adventure games. I'm not good at them. It's like, how do I open this? And someone in the chat will go, pour glue on the screwdriver. I'm like, why would I pour? Oh, that works.
Why in the world would I pour? Oh, okay.
It totally works. Like sometimes adventure games have illogical things to do. And I don't do them because they're not natural for me to think that that's what I should do. But with the help of the chat, it was a little easier. So that's how I'll finish that thing. I'm not going to play that on my own because my brain farts when I play games like this. I need someone to kind of walk through it with me.
Right. And I think those kind of games, I've had a lot of those games throughout my life. As a matter of fact, some of my earliest, most favorite games were those text adventures that were basic. They were text adventures / big image at the top of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you would let's say some of my favorite games was this dumb, stupid Marvel Hulk game I think it was the Commodore 64.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have the Hulk at the top and they would show little horrible graphics. But, you know, it was giving you that experience you wanted. And then down the bottom, you would tell Hulk, you know, Hulk's in a room. And it's like, okay. And you have to go, Hulk goes left. And it's like, okay, Hulk goes left. And then, you know, it's like, Hulk opens door. Hulk can't open door. Hulk smashes door. You know, until you finally figure out that, you know, that magic word combination that finally satisfies the request. And I think these kind of games are like that. I will try everything, even if it's crazy.
Yeah.
Even if it's crazy, like pouring glue on something.
I think that's what they want you to do. I just don't ever think that way.
It's just outside what you would do in normal, in your normal life.
Right.
Why would you do it?
Yeah, exactly. So that's my thinking there. It's cool, though, and I like it. I'm glad you recommended it. Let me tell you about War Tile, though.
Oh, don't you tell me about that War Tile.
Have you heard of War Tile before? Is that a thing you've heard of?
I've never heard of War Tile. It sounds like a board game.
Well, hot damn, because
you're on it, Brian. It's War Tile, the board game.
I'm going to show you what this is. So it is like a board game, but it's not a board game. It is a D&D inspired thing that is kind of hard to explain. So I'll try to explain it. You basically have these figurines, and they're literally figurines who look like they're standing totally still, like meeples, except they're figures. And they're on these circular pads, like you might have in a little D&D session or something. And when you take them out into the world, you start with like one, eventually you get a second dude that comes with you and hangs. They have special abilities. Some have longer range on their weapons. Some are ranged characters. Some are more melee, that sort of thing. Healers, you know, all the things you get from your D&D campaign. You take them out into the world, and it's turn-based. So you're like, you know, move a slot, and then a timer ticks down. Then you move a slot, timer ticks down.
So they're really making you play a board game.
Yes, but it's more than that. I'm trying to get to a place where I can show the chat a proper.
It is a gorgeous looking game from the screenshot I'm seeing. But,
yeah, it's pretty neat. This video I've got is really dark, so I apologize. There we go. So you see how they're moving, that you have a certain distance they can go. That little white ring around their base is their cooldown meter. See how it fills up? So as soon as the cooldown's done, you can move them. So when you fight, though, and everything's on hexagons, but it's all textured like a real world. It's super cool.
Yeah.
When you get up to a bad guy, they've got the same thing. They've got a cooldown and a movement thing and whatever. If you are in a higher tile, you have advantage over them, and you hit them for harder. If you are in a lower tile, you take more damage. It makes sense, right? You can move mid game. You don't have to just stand there and take it, but your guys will automatically animate and fight when you put them next to each other, kind of like the hollow chest in Star Wars, a little bit like
that's
that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like they've taken the basics of what you see, and they've taken it to another level. This would be so awesome in like a VR environment.
Oh, dude, abso-freaking-lutely. In fact, I hope that these guys, I think they could make a VR, you just put VR as part of this game and people would play it. Right. I would play it there.
Just stick your hand in there and just reach over, and it's all you really need, right? And just pick up the piece.
I need to see if there's a chess game just straight up for the Oculus Rift or not. Not the Rift, absolutely.
Not the there's Rift, plenty
but
of them.
The Go. I don't know if the Oculus Go has one or not. Anyway, point is, it's neato, and I like it a lot, and here, I'll give you some audio from it. So this guy's fighting.
I can't click on it right yet.
That's a guy playing. That's not me. Oh, he just killed a thing. Okay, so there's goals to the maps, right? So you're in this map, you're like, all right, well, I'm supposed to kill three of these, plus I'm supposed to pick up this treasure, and then meet back around the other side of the mountain. The mountain looks like a big crafted, handmade world, you know?
Right.
And you fight with cards as well. So you have not only your basic attacks, but you also have these cards, and you can kind of build a deck from those cards. It's not like a card game, but just think of them as having spells handy. So you're like, oh, this one is heal a unit. So I play that card on the unit that's dying, and it will heal him. This other one is lay a trap. You can lay a trap down on a polygon, hexagon. So when one of the bad guys steps on it, he gets trapped and can't move for like 20 seconds or
something. Now, I got to know, are there like audio files for every movement after you place it? Is it going to go, you know, a bunch of dudes marching and making noises and clink clanks and that kind of stuff?
All that stuff, yeah. Everything's got sound effects. The like I say, the combat happens in real time, but you've got this movement thing. It's a very weird hybrid of real time and turn-based. Kind of hard to explain, but it's very and it's all very Norse mythology kind of. That's the place they're doing that. Like, seems like everybody's doing that now. It's fine. It's totally fine. God of War, this, everything else is fine.
It's like a board game in the fact that if you were 12 and had unlimited amounts of money and time, you could make the most kick-ass board game ever.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So I mean, that's what it kind of looks like. It looks like they've taken your fantasy of playing in miniature and just amped it up to like 100.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it's cool.
But I gotta say, fail on the title. Go ahead.
You don't like War Tile.
War Tile sucks.
What's wrong with War Tile? Why don't you like that?
I hate War Tile.
Maybe they mean Wart Isle. You don't like War Tile, really? Because it's like tiles, right? Like it's
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I get kinda, where they're going. It's not the same complaint I have about Steam. It's just a little too, I don't know, on the nose.
Yeah, I think I could see.
Right.
I could see that. The person that's playing this on this video is not very good, by the way. You're supposed to keep your lance guy in the rear because he has huge range.
Because he's got a lance. I mean, you don't want him. Maybe you do want him in the front.
Because he can span two tiles, whereas the melee guy can only do one. So keep him out of harm's way, you dummy.
That's weird. I thought your lancer was supposed to be in the front because they were supposed to. Isn't that how you're supposed to fight?
No, because not in this case. Because in this case, you have short range axe guy. You put him right in front where he's going head to head melee, and then you have longer reach stick boy in the back, and he's gonna die in this video.
Oh, excuse me, I'm just gonna reach over here with my stick. I'm just gonna coming through, fellas. Just gonna
and he'll if you keep him more protected, he's causing tons of damage from the rear, but not taking any damage while the tank is taking all the damage. It works really well, so I like it. And I want to play it now just thinking about it. I think it's a really cool take, and people should check it out. Now, it's not new. It's been out for a while. It was in early access for a long time. It's out of early access now. I don't know the price on Steam, but this would be amazing on an iPad. I want this on an iPad so bad.
It looks like it makes sense to have it on like an iPad. It looks like it would be perfect for that.
It's perfect for that. I will pay for it again there. So, devs, if you're listening, put it there. I buy your game again. By the way, this guy will not heal this unit. It's driving me crazy. I've got to stop watching other people play video games. They're all bad at them.
Don't want to play. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's annoying me.
Hey!
Yeah.
You know what I did? Speaking of mobile.
Oh, yeah?
Right, yeah. Let me tell you about this. I downloaded a game and I paid like, okay, so last week we talked about games with ads in them, right? There was just too much. Yeah. This week I was like, I'm not buying another game that contains ads. If it says contains ad, it can contain my disapproval. Mm. So I said, okay, so what we got in the store here that looks good, well rated, up high, and it costs money with no ads inside, Shooting Stars! Exclamation mark.
Mm.
Have you played this game?
No, but I see it's on PC also.
It is. It's a. I don't know why you want to.
There's
play
a guy on screen right now named Shia LaBeouf.
That's exactly what's so much fun about this. So Shooting Stars. That's where the play comes in. Okay, so this is a bullet hell retro hip type gaming. You're a character with a laser cat riding the hoverboard from Back to the Future or like that. Of course, you don't get any of those real things. They all have fake names. Just like you said, the bad guys you face again, each level has a mini boss, and then finally the end has a big boss. And so you're going along and you'll fight those internet celebrities or memes with these clever take on names and things.
And the bosses are always like movie stars or something.
No, they're not always movie stars. I don't think. I'm trying to think all the big bosses. I haven't made it to big boss a lot because I'm just not that good.
Oh, I'm watching this video. This guy's fighting Shia LaBeouf right now.
Shia LaBeouf. But yes, if you're into puns, the first thing I came across was like pew 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 dee pie or something like that. I mean, it's some clever little unique takes, but there's a lot of
it's kind of annoying meme. Though, right? Like meme stuff in video games, because all that does is like, I gotta get my game on Twitch, how do I do it? I know, reference a bunch of other streamers and stuff, that's cool.
Yeah, you forget really quickly that you're because the game moves so fast, you just forget really quickly that these stupid puns are happening, because it's really at the heart of it, it's a bullet hell game, and you're just moving your. And I have it on mobile, not on PC, and I just have my little finger there, and I just whip it around and dodge the lasers and the bullets, and just go to town shooting stuff, collecting up.
The new girl is Hirana. Who's that supposed to be? Hirana.
I don't know about that one.
Hirana, Ivana, Kevorkian. I can't think. I don't know who that's.
Hermione. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not watching the video you are, because I think. Each level is procedurally generated. It's not like the same every time. I'm assuming I've never come across. I haven't fought the same.
Oh, Rihanna. Sorry. Celebrity. Go ahead.
Keep Rihanna. Yeah, yeah. Ah. So I haven't fought this. There's not like it's not like this, and this. It's more like, okay, now I'm fighting this other weird character that is an internet meme. But
how come all these drones? What's the drone thing? Because a lot of drones to fight.
Oh, there's a lot of drones. The drones are actually not that bad if you have certain power-ups, because there's a couple of power-ups where you have electricity that surrounds your body and you can just kind of like pull up in between the drones and just go, and then those all just disappear. But the drones are just kind of like that intermediate kind of thing that happens in between everything else. And there's like a little mines and stuff that'll come up sometimes. Those are kind of a pain in the butt. They'll just all of a sudden they'll come flying at you. But all the bad boss guys so far, I haven't repeated any, but it seems like their firing pattern is different too. So you'll never get comfortable with this. There'll never be a time it's like, okay, well, I finished stage one, stage two. No, you just go as far as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's part of the fun for this kind of bullet hell. And you can compare to other people. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't allow it to have any of my access. It said, deny, play offline. Thank you. Boop.
Oh, that's cool. You can do that. Oh, the block. Oh, yeah. There's a guy named The Block, but I think that's supposed to be The Rock.
Yes, I think I did find. I fought a guy that was kind of a take on The Rock, but I don't think it was that one. I also fought a Sylvester Stallone lookalike.
so dumb.
Who else did I take on? PewDiePie. Did I go against Bill Gates? I don't think I went against Bill Gates. Well, but yeah, you would think that the memeing would be just overwhelming, but it's not. It's very like I said, you almost forget about the memeing. Although every once in a while, I'll get kind of a little chuckle. Like, eh.
Yeah, well, I just saw him pick up a cupcake to give him health back, and he said, thanks, Obamacare. That's real funny.
Oh, they did do something. I read this today while I was looking about and trying to see who the developer was. The developers recently, they said that around only 11% of the people playing this game had purchased it legally. So they're like 89% were like illegally distributed.
Oh yeah, no, that's a real that's a problem right now.
Like that is crazy numbers. So what they did was I don't know at what point or how they did it, but they were able to take and put in a bad boss, and it is a cheater boss. Mm. So you can't beat it. Mm. It can't be beat if you're playing the cheated game. Mm. It just can't be done.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you about two mobile games real quick that I'm not going to spend hardly any time on because
do it.
Neither are that important. But I did play a game, chat room, you can see it here a little bit. It is called Space Pioneer. It's available for iOS and Android. It's free to play. It has a ton of like, hey, you want to buy some extra gold? So it's got that stuff I hate.
So wait, it's got an actual pioneer? Hey, buddy, what are you? Like
no, different like that. This is the Space Pioneer. Yeah. He's in space, and it's a future-y and stuff. And it's super retro. Like, here's some, I'll give you some volume.
Oh, I like the way it looks.
I want you to hear this music. I want him to kill all these people first. Come on, kill all the people. There we go. Okay, listen to this. I don't know why. Okay. I'll give you some. That's not good sound. Hold on. Here, how about this?
That's pretty good sound, hold man. On. You guys get your headphones on for that.
It's like retro 60s, 70s sci-fi. Oh, I really like the sound. Anyway.
Oh, I do like that.
It's got a great loop. It's basically a twin stick shooter. You run around, kill stuff, beef up your dude, do a bunch of missions, go back, beef up your dude, go back out, shoot some more stuff. It's one of those kind of games, but I think it's worthy of mention because if you like that at all, I think it actually does a really good job of it. And doesn't feel like they're trying to nickel and dime you too bad. So,
whenever you see that half the time, I don't know if you do this, but whenever you see that little notice that pops up when a game is launching, it says, please put on your headphones for best experience. And I go, whatever. this actually sounds like it would be really worth it.
Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I put it on. It's like a condom. Sometimes you just have to do it.
Right. You can't tell me what to do, app.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's that. And then I also picked up that Jurassic World deal. Here, listen to this dinosaur. Oh, gosh. Jurassic World. What's it called?
Alive.
Yeah, there it is. Basically, it's Pokemon Go with dinosaurs. And I am not kidding you. So you walk around the street and you see, oh, here's a dinosaur. And instead of throwing a ball at it, you got to shoot it with a drone with some tranquilizer darts. And if you shoot it enough times, you get a bunch of points that let you own that dinosaur, and then you can like evolve it and fight with it. So
can you ever throw out like a Jeff Goldblum out there, kind of arguing with the dinosaur a little? Just a little bit of that. Maybe
you can if you want. I mean, that's on you to do personally.
Oh, okay.
Here's the guy. Oh, he just shot one. Can I do it again? Let's get him going to go. Oh, I got him right in the back. He's shooting this brontosaurus or whatever this is. And the more times you hit it, the more points you get. Drones, think of the drones as, or the darts that you have on your drones, think of those as like almost unlimited Pokeballs, although I think you can run out of those too.
Now, is this the same people that brought us Pokemon Go?
This is a different group, different bunch of peeps, and they got their own deal going. They're using Google Maps data just like Niantic does for Pokemon Go. They have these stock areas just like they have Pokestops, where you go to a corner and you hit a thing and it gives you a bunch of darts and bonus stuff and whatever. You can catch these things out in the wild. The one thing it does have at launch that Pokemon Go did not is head-to-head pet battles, which it has immediately right outside the gate. And I have to say, it's pretty good little ripoff on Pokemon, the whole Pokemon idea, at least the battling.
Right. You see, when something comes along that is so revolutionary, like Pokemon Go was. I mean, I know people got burnout on it, But I mean, it's so unique. It's foolish not to use the idea of way Pokemon Go is set up, because I mean, it's that's really the selling point, right?
Yeah.
The Pokemon wasn't really the point that was so awesome about it. It was the type of gameplay.
Well, that's a, I mean, I would say that because I like the gameplay, don't care much about Pokemon.
Right.
But they had a Niantic had a game before this that nobody played.
Yes. Yeah, I played that for a minute. You're right.
Yeah.
So and yeah, you have to have something you actually want to collect.
Yeah. I mean, what's the draw? Like, do you want to collect Pokemon? Ooh, sounds fun. Or do you want to collect dinosaurs? Ooh, sounds fun. And there's the new Harry Potter thing where you catch creatures. That sounds fun. Like
that's the Beast.
Yeah, if they can grab you that way and then the gameplay loop's good, fine. I think this is fine. I don't normally like stuff that's based on big properties. So it's not really my bag normally. But as something that gets you outside walking around and doing a thing, it's fine.
Right. It's fine.
It's fine. It's just fine. It's a complete ripoff, but it's fine.
Right.
It's a fine ripoff. And it's working.
I surely wish there was some way to film Pokemon Go person run up against somebody playing this Jurassic World Alive and just, I like to see the confused looks on both their faces.
Well, there is I will say this, that's extremely well animated. Like the dinosaurs look awesome.
Right.
They look real. They're not cartoony. They look like big, awesome textured dinosaurs. The actors from the two recent movies, so Chris, what's his name?
Pratt.
He shows up with his dumb face and
his dumb face.
Todd Howard's daughter's in there.
Are you here to search for dinosaurs?
Todd Howard, John Howard, Ron Howard. I can't think
Ron
of anyone's
Howard's
name.
Daughter, Ron, you mean?
Yeah, Bryce Howard. What's her name? Bryce Dallas Fort Worth Howard.
Yeah, so he was close enough.
Close enough. Bryce Dallas Howard, that's her name.
Just say Miss Howard.
She shows up a lot. And, you know, dinosaurs, some are faster than others, so when you start the fight, they're going to hit first because they're quicker than the big fat dinosaur the other guy brought. But the other guy brought a fat dinosaur because he takes a bunch more damage. And it's just like Pokemon battles. That whole bit, it's the same. Yeah. It's like playing...
Like I said, what do you expect?
It's fine. I'm not complaining about this at all. I'm just saying it is what they say they're going to give you, they give you. It works out of the gate, which I cannot say for Pokemon Go. That was a rough launch. Of course, it was a lot more popular, but anyway, those are just two little mentions. Space Pioneer, Jurassic Park Alive, pretty good mobile experiences. Brian, you're still playing God of War.
Yes.
How is this possible? How do I even know who you are anymore?
I'm up on the Fire Mountain, and I'm trying to upgrade my gear, man. I just want to get my gear to max.
Yeah.
Just so I can see what the Kratos is all about. I got to have that closure.
Sure.
If I can just get that, I'll be good. However, I got to a possible stop point that may be too much.
Really?
The armor I've got is all right. And I've went back and I've changed all my armor around. I've changed my weapons, and some of my weapons allow me the ability to regenerate a little bit of health, just a little bit. And I've also equipped, one of my characters with a squirrel that jumps out and digs and pulls up stone so I can use my Spartan rage.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps, because when you use your Spartan rage in this game, it restores your health.
Right.
So the reason why all that's important is because this, I think it's the next to final for getting the goods that I need to finally upgrade my character, is going to require me to defeat 100 bad guys. That are going to come in waves. And I did the math, and I'm like, it's going to take me an hour, easy.
Oh my gosh,
so
really?
I know, guaranteed, I'm going to sit down. Now, maybe somebody else can do better. Probably like, oh, I'll beat that in 5 minutes. Well, good for you. I ain't you. All right? I did the math, and I'm like, it's going to take me an hour. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I've had it that daunting of a task in God of War where I walk in and go, okay, Brian. We got to sit down and play 1 hour to beat this one part. Ugh.
Yeah.
Something about that just, ugh.
Yeah. I understand.
Don't like it.
I'm with you. I don't like horde modes anyway. Not a fan.
No, so I guess I gotta see what I can do.
Yeah.
I gotta see what I can do. So we're gonna try. I'm still playing. I don't know.
I believe in you. I believe in you. I do.
Might be for me.
All right. We missed it last week because I'm lame.
Yeah,
so we're gonna play it this week instead. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now for Guess My Game. Oh, I don't have a theme for this yet, do I? Brian, this is lame. I need to have... Hold on.
You do. Who can? Where could you get one of those from?
Well, let's see. Do I have something that's like a
cool... Schnauzer?
Hello. No. Wait. I'm trying to find just a good...
We are probing Luton's compound deeply with our sensors now.
That's not it. That's fine, though.
That's pretty good, though.
That's
fine. I like it.
Okay, I'm gonna play mine first. You're going to have to try to guess what this is. Chat room, you can play along. So see if you guys can figure out this game. The only hint I will give you is an arcade game from my youth. It also may have shown up on consoles, but here it is. Anything yet? No?
I'm feeling...
How about this part?
It feels Donkey Kong. Yeah.
Well, you're on the right... you're on the... Oh, the chat room got it. Jeez. Do you want to know? It's Ice Climbers.
Oh, you've talked about Ice Climbers a million times. Wow, that audio is a lot like... is that a Nintendo Jam?
It's a Nintendo Jam. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely Nintendo.
Yeah, they even use the same beer from... like.
Yeah. I spotted that, but it kind of had that, it almost had a little Donkey Kong Jr. kind of sound to it.
Yeah. Hey, show not found, since you've guessed it, why don't you send me an email, scott@frogpants.com, or just click the link on top of frogpants.com and contact me. I'll send you a free Steam code for guessing that. Well done. Actually, if you guys do, well, I think from now on we start doing this. If the chat room gets it before we do, they get a prize, whoever that
is. Oh, that's good. Ooh, that's even more pressure. Yeah. Perfect.
So do that. Just go to frogpants.com and click the link up top says contact. That'll get to me as easy as anything, and I'll get Show Not Found a free game. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours now. I have no idea what this is. I haven't heard it before. All I can do is click it. Chat room, if you get it before me, you win. Here we go. Oh, wait, it's quiet. This is.
You can fast forward a little bit. Might get a little help.
Okay. Oh. Okay, that wahey thing.
Yes. That's the giveaway.
Who says wahey when they're jumping? I mean, it's obviously a platformer. This is something you've been playing?
Oh, yes. Because my son is turning 20, or just turned 20, and we was talking about this the other day because he used to play the crap out of this game.
Is it Banjo-Kazooie?
That's like the right area, but not quite. Does anyone in the chat room have a guess?
They don't. Somebody says Banjo. Somebody says Galaxy, Donkey Kong Country.
What if I told you he was green? Would that help any?
Is it Gex?
Oh, close. Very close to that.
Ukulele?
No.
That's like the spiritual successor to Banjo.
just admit you don't know.
It's not that Rayman game you've been playing.
It was on the PlayStation 1, and I think the series continued.
Oh, it's the freaking Spyro the Dragon.
Oh, so close once again. No, not quite.
All right, give up.
It was his lesser love, Croc.
Croc?
Croc, the legend of Gobo.
I don't remember Croc.
You don't remember Croc?
No. Hold on a second. C-R-O-C?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, hold on. Video game.
Played the crap out of that game.
Croc, the Legend of Gobos. You're right. Now I remember seeing... I never played this, but I remember seeing this.
Croc 1, Croc 2, was it... Oh, man, they have like a... Remake Croc Legend of Gobos for the PS4.
Well, whatever. Croc is shit. I was trying to game. I can't think of how to.
So, over 3 million copies was released in 1997 and sold over 3 million copies by 2003. So, certainly not unheard of.
Yeah, I don't remember it, though, other than this image. I remember seeing this at like a Blockbuster, and it'd be like, oh, should I rent this Croc game, and then I'd say, nope, I got better things to do. But you're right. saying like, it's okay. You like it. It's all right.
Like the chat. Yeah, and Spyro. I was playing a lot of Spyro and Croc, but at the same time, I want to say this might have come with my console, but I'm not sure if I bought it like as a bundle or if I bought it secondhand. Mm. But I remember having Gex and Spyro and Croc all kind of like just playing all those games. I was just totally into that for a short time. Just played the crap out of it.
Yeah,
but Croc probably got more than just about anybody. Had the greatest share of love from our household.
Argonaut Studios made it. Mm-hmm. This is some serious 90s business, folks. Oh, yeah, look at him.
So 90.
Oh, this is all ringing familiar now. I do remember seeing this. I'd never played it, though. Boy, 3D looked like shit then, didn't it?
Didn't it, though?
Ugh, look at this. Okay. Wiggly mess, dude. It was so bad. I mean, PlayStation 1 specifically, the N64 came out and had at least, you know, edges that wouldn't wiggle the whole time you were around them, like on the land and stuff. I mean, whatever. This was the best we had at the time. It's okay. It's all right.
Oh, but, my God. I'm really getting so mad that some of the platform jumps were just insane and Croc. It was just like, oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, look at this thing. It's exactly as you had. Let's see what's he going to do here. Oh, he has a bum jump just like Mario does.
He does.
And then he goes underneath the ground there. I mean, would you say this is on par with what we might want from a platformer of that era?
You know, on par, absolutely what you would see. Yeah. Now, was it the best? No.
Yeah.
But was it the one that I had? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it the one I had to play? Damn straight.
You damn Skippy.
All right. I don't have a problem with it. Check it out. Croc, the Gobos. What? Legend of the Gobos. Gobos? Gobos.
Legend of the Gobos. But we also, I liked Croc too. Not as much time spent on it, but it was also, it was pretty fun. It was not a huge, like, jump forward or anything.
Yeah. It's a jump, 3D jump forward. Get it? That's pretty funny. Hey, look at that. That music means it's time for our news story this week. Check this out. Assassin's Creed Odyssey has been confirmed by Ubisoft ahead of E3. Oh, these leaks. What are you going to do? Actually, this one wasn't leaked as far as I know, but Assassin's Creed Odyssey has been confirmed by Ubisoft as the next entry in the open world franchise just hours after an image of the game's name and logo were leaked. Oh, it was a leak. Sorry, I missed that part. And got spread around online. The Assassin's Creed Twitter account posted a short video Thursday evening confirming the game's name. And yeah, its appearance for E3, the French video game site Joux Video Live.
Look at that live!
Posted the image of a novelty keychain promoting the hitherto unannounced title. It's a follow-up to Assassin's Creed Origins. The site claimed the game will be set in ancient Greece. The helmet sort of resembles that of King Leonidas the First. So that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. I really liked Origins.
Are you at maximum Assassin's Creed at this point?
Well, I kind of liked them skipping a year last time. So I don't know how I feel about this coming right after the last one. It's a little soonish. But I think that's gotten them in trouble before. So I just want them to be careful, that's all. This last one, Origins, is really good. Great game.
Yeah, agreed.
This could be two. That game tickled right up against the... The Grecians and the Romans, so there's no reason why you can't continue that story. I just want them to be careful. That's all.
Tickled right up, too.
Tickled right up there. Bumped them right in the bum. Got an email here, boopshow@gmail.com. This comes to us from Rasmus, who says, just listen to last week's episode where you were briefly discussing the announcement of Fallout 76 with Nicole. This is actually from a TMS episode.
Must have been.
We do know a few things about the game from the trailer. There are a total of 122 vaults mentioned throughout the Fallout series. The Vault-Tex vaults are known to largely have been built to conduct strange experiments on the inhabitants.
Experiments.
Like Vault 11 had a message play once a year saying it would have to sacrifice one of the vault's inhabitants or they would all be killed. And after a set number of years, a message played saying this was a lie and that no measure would have been taken if they had refused. Anyway, not all the vaults had been experimented or had experiments running in them. Some of them just were control vaults, so on and so forth. He's saying that Vault 76 is designed to be an open, Vault 76 is designed to open 20 years after the war. And during those 20 years, the inhabitants have been preparing to build society. When they get out, hence the Reclamation Day banners in the trailer. This is in contrast.
1776.
Yes, it's a big contrast to the previous games. And I just hit my mouse and lost everything. Hold on. Okay.
Oh, no. To previous games like Fallout 4 that have been set about 200 years post-war.
Then it says there have been rumors about the game being co-op multiplayer game, also about it being a battle royale game. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess. I think most would prefer a classic Fallout RPG. I would be one of those people that would prefer that.
I think I am ready for a classic RPG Fallout. I'm ready.
You're ready for another one because Fallout 4... happened. Like what? Well, when was that? 2015. 2015.
Yeah. So that is 16? The proper amount of time.
16. Hold on.
Right.
Hold on. I want to make sure.
A couple years old. It's starting to get a little long in the tooth.
But how often? But they normally don't. They put huge amounts of space between their Fallout games.
They do.
Fallout 4 release date. Okay.
But they're just now announcing it, so we may not even see the game. Well, that's not true because they use it pretty quick.
It was 2015, November 10th, 2015. I mean, I'm fine with it if it's a survival game. Forget it. I have zero interest. None at all. I don't want to go hunt down wood, cut it down, make a thing. Hurry up. It's getting dark. I don't want any of that.
The fact that they have given us so little information about it really makes me think that it's going to be maybe a little more casual gaming. I don't know. I'm probably totally wrong, but it just feels like they want us to all say, what's Fallout 76? Is it going to be a full-blown game? It's going to be... I feel like a full-blown game would have already gotten revealed by now.
I like that the music in it was written in the 70s, and this could be them coming out of the vault 20 years after the original or Fallout 4's events, which means they are literally in the 70s.
Yes.
And that could be a little bit of a theme there. I'm down with that. Sidian, I have to disagree with you in the chat. He says Fallout 4 was weak. I disagree. I love 4. Loved it. Had a great time with 4.
Loved it. I've had both experiences.
You don't like it?
I've had parts of Fallout 4. I'm like, I'm having such a good time. The other times I'm like, I'm so done with this game.
Really?
I'm out.
Well, that's hard for me to say. I don't know. I liked it. Well, let's see. I think that's it for emails. Hey, thanks a lot, Rasmus. We love getting your email, and you can send your own emails to the show at boopshow@gmail.com, or you can go to Frogpants site and just click on the contact link. Either one of those works, and we'd be happy to take you. All right, let's get out of here. Frogpants.com/BOOP is the website. You can find everything there, including show notes for this episode, where you can leave comments and thoughts. Yes, that's right. We do that now at frogpants.com/BOOP. That's boop.
Boop.
Boopshow@gmail.com. On Twitter, @BoopShow. Brian's at @TheBrianDunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And you can find our Reddit page at boopshow.reddit.com. It's also Frog Pants Reddit page. But all these details and information bits are over there on the Frog Pants site. We record this every Monday live, 3:30 Mountain Time, 5:30 Eastern, right here at frogpants.tv. So come be live. The nice thing about being live is there's a bunch of video content as well that we throw up on this thing. Whereas all you audio listeners, you're not getting that as much. And that's cool, you know, I get it how you want it, but if you want to be here live, we do it, okay? 2:30 Pacific, 3:30 Mountain, 4:30 Central, and 5:30 Eastern. There's all your time zones in the United States.
You just gave they don't have to do time zone conversions.
I'm not doing no Greenwich Mean Time or any of that. F that. That's for British weirdos, okay?
But what? When is Swatch time?
There is no Swatch time. That's a figment of your imagination. There's never been such a
thing. I'm
going
to go look it right now. What time?
There's no such thing. It's all crap.
There was for a while.
It's all crap.
They still keep up with it?
Everything you say right now is such utter garbage that it's
Veal Meantime is another invention of Swatch. It is linked to the Central European Winter Standard Time.
Well done. But we want you back, that's for sure. Next Monday, everybody. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for being here. This has been The Boop Show, and we have loved being here. Thank you once again for me, for Brian, and for the rest of you. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
And then you gotta play...